Appreciate all the good testimonies. Psalm, there's a song we sing sometimes that says, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. And we praise you. You're worthy to be honored. And we honor you. And it says, you're worthy to be loved. And we love you. Desire your prayers tonight. The burden that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. There was a time in my life that I did not always show or prove to the Lord that I loved Him. There was a time in my life when I was pretty much loved myself more than anything else or anyone else. And it seems like that the world that we live in today, we look around and I see a lot of people in that kind of shape. They're just going through the motions in life. It doesn't have any real true meaning for them. They're not receiving any of the blessings that God truly has for them. And God has blessings for every one of us. He wants to bless us. He'll do everything He can to bless us. But it seems like there's many that just are not willing to allow Him to come into their heart and work His purpose and His will in their life. I was thinking about the word resume. When I graduated from high school, the city that I'm from, back in those days, if you didn't go to college, graduated from high school and you just went into one of the factories. GM plants were all around the city, and you went into one of the factories, which is what I did for 30 years. But today, I've got a couple of son-in-laws and a couple of sons that I watch them when they go out to get their job, they have a resume. As a matter of fact, it's quite a thing. It seems like my oldest daughter's husband, they go to him to get their resumes filled out. It tells about their experience. Here's the experience that I have, and this is what they give to the employer. And they're trying to promote themselves. They're trying to impress him that I'm qualified. I'm qualified to do the job, the opening that you have. And I wonder tonight, if we was to fill out a resume about our past, about our life, what could we put on that resume? What could we put down? Here's my good qualities. Lord, here's the things that I've done. I've done a lot of good works. I'm a good person, good moral person. And this is how I've lived my life. What would you put on your resume? Hopefully, one of the most important, if not the most important thing to put on your resume would be that you've been born again, that you've been saved. God has a resume. He said, I am that I am. He's a God that inhabiteth eternity, an eternal God. And He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. His resume goes on and on and on and on. God is so great. He's so wonderful. He's so good to humankind to spare this world that we live in, this old wicked world. And He's got a resume tonight that we couldn't exhaust that if we all got up and tried. to tell all the good things of God. If you have your Bibles, I want to read Isaiah, the 59th chapter. These are your prayers that the Lord will bless this. Isaiah 59 and 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." God doesn't have a short arm tonight, folks. God can reach down into the lowest depths. He can reach down into the lowest pits of sin. And He can lift you up out of that awful place. His hand is not short, and neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. God wants to hear us so badly. He wants us to hear us call upon His name. He wants to hear us cry out, and as we have tonight, He wants us to bless Him, praise Him, lift Him up, and exalt Him, because He is God. Folks, He's the essence of life. He's life. He is the giver of life. He gives life, and it's in His power to take away life. But His hand is not short that it cannot save. You know, I remember what it was like to be in a place in life where I thought, "Lord, you're never going to be able to save me. You're never going to be able to save me. I've made such a mess out of my life. I'm in it so deep right now, Lord, you're never going to be able to save me." But the Word says that He is able to save. And it also says that His ear's not heavy. He doesn't have a deaf ear tonight. And I believe that I can assure you that if we call on the name of God, that God will hear our prayers. Well, He went on to say this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." You know, I was in that place one time. It's an awful place to be in. Your sins have separated you from God. And I thought about, that's an awful place to be separated from God, the one that gives life, the one that gives all good things, to be separated, to not to know Him, that friend, that personal friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's an awful place to be. I can remember in my time when I was away from God, going to bed at night and meditating and thinking about my soul being lost. And I told my wife, after the lights were out, laying in bed, and it was quiet, more than once I said, "Honey, do you realize that if I die tonight, I'm going to go to hell?" And you know, that stirred my heart. And it was an awful feeling. Yet after a time, I was able to go to sleep. But folks, to think that if I die tonight, I'm going to go to hell. And my wife, maybe at the time, didn't understand it. I said, "Honey," I said, "I know the truth. I understand what the Bible teaches. I know you must be born again. And I know that sin will separate me from God." And it says here, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face." Folks, that's an awful thing to have God hide His face from you. That's an awful thing. That's a desperate situation to be in. But you know, when we go on our own way, and we love ourselves more than we love God, we can find ourselves in that place. It's not a good place. There's no limitations on what God can do. No limitations. I think about, the writer said, "He lifted me up out of the miry clay." Is anyone here tonight that's down in the miry clay? If you are, I can identify with you. You know, there's some of these preachers here, and I thank God for that, that didn't go out into deep sin in the world. Some of the saints here that didn't go out into the deep things of the world. But the man that you're looking at tonight, I went out into the deep things of the world. I didn't do it all, but I did a lot more than I should have ever done. And I found out, according to a message I heard Brother Tony preach many years ago at Monarch, sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It'll cause you to do things that you never dreamed that you would ever do. You never dreamed that you would ever do. Because you're separated from the life source. Do you know we live in a cut flower world today? Oh, we go out there and we admire those flowers and they look so beautiful, and we'll cut off a few of them, take them in and put them in water. Folks, you cut them off from the nutrient, they won't last near as long in the water as they would have in the soil. We cut ourselves off from God. We live in a cut flower world today. And when we cut ourselves off for God, He can't hear us. He turns His face from us. That's a desolate situation, isn't it? A desolate situation. But there's no limitations on God. The Scripture says He can save to the uttermost. And it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter where you find yourself tonight. It doesn't matter what God points out to your heart tonight. Whatever it is, He's able to save to the uttermost. God is able to deliver thee. Oh, sinner, the song says. Oh, I'm an example of that tonight. I once was lost. I was once lost in a dark world. But now I'm found tonight. And I can speak this little message that I have for you from experience. I can say I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. And now I'm here, folks. I know where I'm at today. And I'm here today by the mercy of God. That God reached down in His mercy. And He talked to me one day. And He called me. And I reached out to Him. Folks, He heard me. He didn't turn a deaf ear. Oh, I think of the Scripture, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. Oh, thank God, folks. Life's not over till it's over. But when we take our last breath, it's over here, isn't it? But it's not over until we take that last breath. I'd like for us to turn now to Psalms, the 31st chapter, and listen to what David, or the writer here, says. Psalms 31 and verse 9. He said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. I'm in trouble. Mine eyes is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. The devil has a resume too. And Jesus gave us that resume. He said He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's His resume. If you're living, if you're serving the devil tonight, that's what he wants to do to you. That's what he wants to do with you. It's steal. He wants to steal your soul. And he wants to destroy it in a devil's hell in eternity. He wants to kill you. He does not have any good motive for you. That's his resume. Oh, he said here, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. That's not hard to say, is it? If you find yourself in trouble, that's not so hard to say, Lord, have mercy upon me, for I am in trouble. I think about the thief that was hanging there on the cross. And he looked to him and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Same prayer. I'm in trouble, Lord. I need to be saved. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We've all said that prayer one time or another. We've all said that prayer. But isn't it amazing how two men, one thief on either side, two men can see the same Savior. They can hear the same words. And one see hope and the other see themselves. it's amazing how people have their different ways they look at life. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Scripture says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. If I may, I'd like to share just a little bit tonight. I was raised by godly parents, raised in this truth right here that we still stand for tonight. And as a young man, young boy, and Brother Tony and I knew each other then, we grew up together, I was saved, had a good experience living for the Lord. The young people, when I got into my late teenage years, the devil took advantage of me. But I want you to know that I let him. You have to let him for him to do that. I didn't pray as I should have. I didn't read as I should have. I didn't seek the Lord as I should have. And I was about maybe 18 or 19 years old and out of school and out on a public job and get in with the wrong people. You know the story? You get in with the wrong crowd. You get in and they're doing things and they're having fun. I remember, I think I was 18 years old, I decided to have my first cigarette. I knew better than that. I went over to this machine where I worked, and I looked at the cigarette packs in the machine, and I saw one that was, they were long. I thought, I'm going to get my money's worth. They were Pall Mall's. No filter. Never had one before in my life. I got the pack. I lit one up. My head started swimming. I got so dizzy I had to find a seat before I fell down. I thought, well, surely there's something that's not this strong. And I kept working and I kept trying until the next thing I know, I was smoking cigarettes for 16 years. And I actually got to 3 packs a day. I'm not telling this to the glory of the devil. I'm telling this to the glory of God because He delivered me. I've been saved longer than that. Praise the Lord. He delivered me from that. When I was 19 years old, had an hour for lunch there in that place, and that gave us young fellas just enough time to get in trouble. Just enough time. We didn't need no hour to eat, but there was 20,000 people working the day shift in that place, and there was a lot of older people, and they wanted to give people plenty of time, but it gave me enough time to get into trouble. When I was 19 years old, I drank my first beer. You ever hear someone say, well, you got to acquire a taste for it? You know how long it took me to acquire a taste? First bottle. I liked it. This poor man, he said, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in trouble. Every bit of this went against what I knew and understood. Every bit of this went against my convictions. I want you to understand what I'm trying to get across here tonight. It went against to what I knew was right. It went against, I knew that these things would separate me from the love of God. I knew these things would cut me off and send me to a damnable hell. I knew those things. But all I put that in the back of my mind. You want to put that in the back of your mind? I'm getting ready to have fun. I'm going to run with the guys. I'm going to do what the other fellas are doing. Folks, it wasn't very long that I was drinking more than the other fellas. And I went from there to the hard stuff. And I was drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. And one day, I looked down and I saw that it was destroying my own home and my own family. My wife, she said, I can tolerate just about anything, but I can't hardly stand that. And you know, one day, and I know it was the Lord, praise God, I went to work, and I was so troubled, I just left and came home and got on the lawnmower and started riding and began to talk to myself. Kind of went to AA right there on that mower. And I said, Larry, if you don't straighten up, you're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your four children, all because of the bottle. Some people have expressed to me, they don't feel, I'm going to be very plain about this, that it's good to mention these things over the pulpit. Folks, don't stick your head in the sand. We live in a real world. We live in a world where people are caught up with this kind of stuff everywhere. We live in a world today, the devil wants to take our young people and he wants to do the same thing with them. He said, well, they're saints' children. So was I. He wants to do that to your children. And folks, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to warn your children. I want them to know that no matter where you come from, the devil is still after your soul and he'll take you to the depths to destroy you. Because without God, you're no match for the devil. Without God, you do not have what it takes to stand up and resist the pleasures that this world has to offer you. That's right. You've got to have God, folks. When you cut yourself off from God, it's you and the devil. I have to tell this too. That went on for several years. But you know, after that little talk with myself, that was the end of the bottle. The Lord began to deal with my soul from that time forward. I'd already quit cigarettes. It was the bottle that I didn't want to give up. Wife and I had a conversation one day that the TV was bothering her. She said, the children come home from school and that's all they want to do is go watch TV and I want them to do their homework and go outside and play. So we had this discussion and I said, honey, I can't give that up because I like to watch sports. You know, our young people today are getting so caught up with sports. Our world feasting on it. I can't give that up. Well, she tried. Sometime later, she talked to me again. Honey, you see what it's doing to the children. And you know, I can't even tell you why. But I said, all right, okay, you win. We took the TV, the big one, out of the family room and we took it into the living room. We unplugged it and turned it around to face the wall. And we were going to get rid of it. 2 weeks from that time, my sister talked me into following her down to La Ronja, Louisiana to a camp meeting. I'll never forget it. I drove 900 miles from Dayton, Ohio, following them to La Ronja, Louisiana, to a camp meeting of all places. And all the way down there, I'm saying to myself, why am I doing this? You know, her ruse was, we have a brother that lived there. I want you to see his place. She'd been praying for me for a long time, folks, and I know that. Now, I'm driving 900 miles and I'm thinking to myself, why am I doing this? Folks, if the Lord is on your trail, if He's dealing with your heart, oh, now is the accepted time. Now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, praise the Lord. I went down there to that meeting. I went to Sunday service, both services. Hadn't really planned on that, I don't think, but I went to services. I went to services on Monday. Tuesday morning I went to service. Tuesday afternoon, we took a ride with some other folks. And her and I were sitting in the back of the van. And I turned to my wife and I said, listen, you know, my wife wasn't raised in the truth. I said, listen, I don't know why I came down here. But I said, I've got to do one of two things. We've got to pack up that motorhome and we got to turn around and get back to Ohio, or I got to go to the altar. I said, I can't be around these people in the shape that I'm in. You know, my wife said to me, she said, sounds to me like you need to go to the altar. Folks, that night I practiced.
I took a wasted life, wasted years. I took all this mess. My home was in trouble. I took all these things down to the Lord.
And folks, He took all that trash and He cleaned me up. And He set me on a solid rock. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to God! I hope you don't think any less of me because I lived that way at one time. I'm living all I know how to do to live for the Lord. All I know how to do to tell these young people, folks, there's nothing but trouble ahead. There's nothing but sorrow. There's nothing but heartache ahead. Without God. That's all there is. The devil can promise you the world, folks. If you gain the whole world, you're going to lose your soul. What's it going to profit you? And there's no one here going to gain the whole world. You might gain a large portion of it, but you're not going to gain enough to save your soul. It just doesn't work. God not only saved me, and He changed me, but He changed my home. He changed my children. You know, I told her when we got back, the TV had already been turned around. I said, I don't care where you sell it, what you do with it. I just want it out of here. Just get it out of here. The Lord had done so. And you know, I felt that peace that I had when I was a young boy. That peace. Oh, when He said, peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. I want to tell you something, folks. The world can't give you the peace that I know tonight. It's a real, true, deep, soul, inner peace. I go to bed tonight, and I don't think if I die tonight, I'm going to go to hell. If I die tonight, praise God, it'll be instant victory in eternity. But all my iniquities, He said, have separated me. Sin separates us from God, folks. It'll separate us. Have mercy on me, Lord. I'm in trouble. Mine eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. Sound familiar to anyone? My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. Oh, I can identify with it, folks. I've been there. I know what He's saying. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Oh, folks, the Lord loves broken vessels. The Lord loves to take a broken life, a life that has been made shambles, a life that's been full of trouble and heartache and just running around doing your own thing and running from God, so to speak. The Lord loves to take a broken vessel and make it whole again. Do you know He can put that vessel back together and you'll not even be able to see where the cracks were? You'll not even be able to see where the cracks were. When God does something, He does it right. And He does it to perfection. I'm enjoying living for God. I'm really happy. I thought I was happy. Brother Jim touched a little bit on my life last night. Talking about the headaches the next morning, the hangovers. Why did I do that last night? You think, wow, I'm really having a good time. No, you're not. The devil's lying to you. I let him lie to me. And you know, we'll let him do that and we know better. See, that's the thing. We know better. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, I know that I will never go out and do those kind of things. No, you don't. You know, the only thing that I can think of that gave me a way back to God was that I never lost my fear of God. Young people, don't ever lose the fear of God in your heart. Because if you lose the fear of God, He can't come along and talk to you. You'll have no fear of Him. You don't have no respect for Him. You don't have no honor for Him. But I always fear the Lord. Not just fear of dying, but fearing God. Because of His resume, who He is. The great I Am. The One that I will stand for before at the judgment in eternity. I will always fear God. The Bible tells us the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. I'd like to read in Psalms, the 90th chapter. Listen to the Word. Let me read just a little bit here. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass with which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withered. Oh, sometimes we tell ourselves, well, I'm going to live a long time. Folks, if you live a long time, it's short in this life. It's nothing compared to eternity. It's not very long at all, and you find the aches and the pains begin to come. You talk about, we laugh about it sometimes, 40 over the hill, middle age approaching and all that. I'm past the 50, well past the 50 now. Folks, it's just a short time. You look back on your life and you say, where did it go? Where did it go? But then He went on to say, we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. We can't hide anything from God. Scripture says all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. All of us here tonight, one of the burdens the Lord has laid upon my heart, folks, that we as the people of God need to be stirred in our hearts. Lord, search us if there be in us any wicked way, anything that would hinder You from having Your way with my life. All the writer said here, he said, our secret sins is in the light of Thy countenance. He sees them all. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And then jumping down to verse 12, he said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to number our days. I had a brother. I had 5 brothers. This is the one that was so close. He and I were so close. I don't know. Some of you may remember his testimony in the Faith and Victory paper. But he told the Lord when he retired. He retired 59. If You let me retire, I'm going to live for You. His son got into some trouble. There was some injustice done to his son, but his son ended up paying 4 years of prison. And it was so hard on my brother. And he said, Larry, the Lord came knocking. And the Lord was trying to tell me something, and I didn't listen. And then my brother found out one day that his kidneys weren't working properly and that he had diabetes. Then he ended up losing the function of his kidneys. He's 61 now. See, he was 61 then. And you know, he told me one day, he said, you know, I told the Lord I was going to give him my life, but I was just so busy. Are you busy? Are you too busy to give the Lord a little time and a little attention? He said, I was just so busy. I was running around with the fellows that I retired with. I was enjoying my retirement. I was just so busy with life. And he said, you know, I realize now that I was just so busy doing nothing. Busy doing nothing. You know, I love to tell how I was in South Carolina and I got a phone call from my daughter, talked to her, and she said, Dad, your brother Charles, he wants to get saved. I called him right away. I said, I hear you want to get saved. You know what he said? He said, I want to do that so bad I can't hardly stand it. Oh, I would to God tonight that there were more that would be so sick of sin, so tired of that old life, getting up in the morning and feeling so drained and depressed and dreading to face another day. No joy, no peace, no happiness in their life. Oh, I said, Charles, praise God. That's the first thing I said. He said, I don't want you to cut your trip short, but as soon as you get home, I want you to come over and pray with me. I said, brother, you don't need me to pray through. You don't need me. I said, I'm going to call Brother Rick sitting here. And I said, I'm going to send him over there and pray with you. I called him on a cell phone and caught him and his wife there checking out of the store. They went over there and they prayed with him. Brother Rick told me later, he said, I think he's already saved when I got there. He wanted to do it so bad he couldn't hardly stand it, folks. But let me caution you here. His life was wasted. His body was run down. There wasn't anything he could do to the glory of God. He waited so long. He waited so long. I thank God he got saved, and I know he got saved. He lived that life for 8 months with good testimony. He measured up, did everything that he needed to do. And I didn't tell him to do any of it. The Lord told him to do it. And he did it. Are we so busy? We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, I don't know about some of these other brethren. I've used this scripture a few times at a funeral. I got a call one day from Vanceburg, Kentucky. A young man, 18 years old, said he was in an accident. Him and his friend was driving up the AA highway. A deer jumped out in front of him, and his friend swerved to the left to miss the deer and hit a semi head on. Said it'll be a closed casket because his body is burned so bad. Could you come down and preach his funeral? They said, a couple of years ago, he had a good experience with the Lord. But he lost that experience. He got away from the Lord. Folks, you don't know when you're leaving this world. He was 18. And he's in eternity today. Oh, I'll never forget it. It's etched in my mind. That closed casket, after I finished the little message, they let the people go up. Walked by. He had two sisters, young sisters. And they went up there. And it was so pitiful. They clutched the side of that casket. And it was like their fingernails scraping down the side of it as they went to their knees. It was so sad. Their brother, he's not supposed to be dead. He's only 18. But he's in eternity now. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Lord, help us tonight. We have an opportunity. He said, teach us to number our days. God, have mercy. I believe with all my heart, God's passing by one more time. Give us another opportunity. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I remember a man that was probably in his 40s, 50s at the time. That one time in our congregation, the message had been preached, the song was being sung, and he was standing about 3 steps from the altar with his wife, trembling, shaking all over. The Spirit of the Lord was working with him and dealing with him, and he was trembling. And he wouldn't yield to the Spirit of God. 2 weeks later, he went out in an accident in eternity. That's where he is today. You know, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We're dealing with God. We're talking about time and eternity tonight. And eternity is facing every one of us, no matter who we are, because we have an appointment. You have an appointment. I have an appointment. It's appointed unto us to die. And we might say, well, brother, I hear what you're saying. But you don't know what I've done. You don't know what the devil's holding over my head. I feel so ashamed. I'm so sorry. I wished I'd have never done them, but I've done them. Folks, let me tell you, I took trash. And he gave me life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. He forgave the thief. He'll forgive a murderer. But you got to ask for it. You got to ask. Pardon comes when you ask. It comes when you ask. He said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Can we do that tonight? Do you understand that the Lord is turned away from you if there's sin between you and God? Seek the Lord while He may be found. You can find Him here. But when you get over there, it's fixed. You'll never be able to find Him again. Only here. Only now can we turn around, change our life, and go the other way. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I give you the invitation tonight, return to the Lord. Backsliders, I was a backslider. It'd be awful hard for you to come up with something that I didn't experience. Well, I didn't experience at all. But folks, I tell you, whatever it is, there's mercy and there's pardon at the cross. Jesus paid it all. He died that you and I could come to the cross. That blood that they sing about in the special tonight, the all-cleansing blood of the Lamb, let it wash over your soul. Let it wash out all those sins and take that soul and clean it up and make it white again. You can dwell with your wives and husbands and your families and your friends and your neighbors with peace and with joy and with happiness and see life in an all different manner than you see any right now. God has something special for us tonight, folks. And as we sing an invitation, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will take these frail words, these frail thoughts, but it is the Word of God, and He will impart it deep into your soul and cause you to realize, folks, you are no match for what's waiting for you out there in the world. You're no match for it. We need the Lord. You need the Lord, and you need Him desperately. Let's sing a song. Seriously consider where you are tonight. His hand is not short that he can't save. Don't throw away the excuses. Excuses, we don't need excuses here. God can save from anything. He can deliver you. He can break chains. He can deliver you from drink, drugs, whatever it is. He can deliver you. I'm a living testimony. I know He can deliver. He takes it away. Say, I don't think I can give it up. Folks, you don't have to. God will deliver you. You know, the devil would come along and he might try a lot of ways to bring me down. But I don't believe he'll ever come through alcohol or cigarettes. Because he knows there's not a chance. Not a chance. He can deliver. Deliver. Don't you want deliverance? Don't you want what all these people are enjoying? All this praise. All this happiness. A present help in time of trouble. You got trouble? It said this poor man's in trouble. Yeah. Is anyone here tonight in trouble? The Lord's calling and He wants to deliver you out of your trouble. 411.